Welcome and thank you for joining us for this service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the May 7th, 2023 service at Plymouth, the fifth Sunday of Easter. The sermon will be delivered by our pastor, the Reverend Paulette Mixon Weller. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame.
Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me.
You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Let us worship God. Next is the hymn, Morning Has Broken. Next is the hymn, I Will Call Upon the Lord.
The word of the Lord as it is in the book of the Acts of the Apostles.
But filled with Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, "Be Thou My Vision."
Come to the reading of Scripture. Can you hear me well enough? Seem okay, or a little bit louder? Sorry, Gina. Thank you. We are so thankful for you. All right. Well, John 14, 1 through 14. John 14, 1 through 14. All right, thank you so much. So last Sunday we had John 10, 1 through 10, and this week we have John 14, 1 through 14. Kind of fun. All right, well, now we come to the gospel and we are in the farewell discourse of Jesus to his disciples. So he's saying goodbye in a sense with his words here. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you don't, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The word of the Lord. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, thinking of last words before someone dies, because this scripture is often used at the end of life. It's used for funerals, and I have used it many times as a hospital chaplain with people right before they pass on. So these are important words, very big, big important words. But the last words before someone dies are really important. If you think of times that you've been with someone before the end of life, my father had dementia, and so it made it kind of complicated to have that real goodbye. But what he did say, he would wake up and he'd be in a different time. And he woke up and it was the year 2000, and I was deciding whether to go far away from home or close. And he said, "I really hope you choose to be close to home." And so I have to take that as, wow, he loved me and wanted me close to home. If you think of times that you've had decent goodbyes with someone, decent last words, you never forget these words and these times. And we have to sometimes rewrite history a little bit to come to terms with those last words, but they're so important. As were Jesus' last words to his disciples, so important. So one thing about funerals is that they're really for the living. We can plan out our funeral all we want, but that is such a blessing when you do plan out your funeral, because you know exactly what the person wanted. That's such a gift that we can all do for our loved ones. If you know the hymns that you want, because doggone it, someday we're all gonna die. And I wish that weren't the case, but that is the way of life. But planning out our memorial services, but really they're for the living. They're for the living. We acknowledge that heaven has a place for us, and that is so important. But it's also important to know how we can keep on living, how we keep going. And that's what Jesus was saying for his disciples. Okay, this is how you can keep going. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you've seen me, you've seen God. You know what to do with the rest of your life. God is revealed to us in Jesus, in the way he lived, with love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, in the truth that he lived, that God is for us, and wants a relationship now, and that everyone matters, everyone. And God is revealed to us in Jesus in the life that he lived of abiding with God. If you remember all the many, many times Jesus went away on a mountain by himself to pray and connect with God. That is what we are called to do. There is a place for us now to abide with God. God is the loving, faithful parent. So there are many rooms in heaven, but there are also many opportunities for us to connect with God right now. The host of heaven requests our presence daily in the dwelling places of our hearts. So in about the year 300, there were many people who became desert mothers and fathers. They went to the desert, kind of the Sinai desert in between Egypt and Israel. They went there to move away from society and to spend time with God in a cave. And they would often spend years there, and then they would leave, but they would talk about the cave within their hearts, that they could go and have that communion special time with God. I think of Susanna Wesley, the mother of the Wesleys, who started the Methodist Church. She had like 22 children. My three children are more than enough for me. But she was such a woman of God and a woman of faith. She would take her apron. She had a long apron. She would put it over her head. And she said, "Don't mess with Mama while Mama has the apron over her head." Because that was her time of connecting with God. And she did that every day. And just what an example to see that she still spent time with God every day. You know, Nancy, the challenges of that. And we all know if we take care of our grandchildren or our own children, they're such gifts, and they need a lot of watering and caring and tending. Yes. Well, Jesus begins these final words to his disciples with, "Do not let your heart be troubled." So the Greek is really kind of cool here. It gives us some help. The word for "your" is plural, but the word for "heart" is singular. So it's really, do not let y'all's heart be troubled. It's the one communal heart. You know how as a community, we can have a heart. We can be encouraged, we can be discouraged, which right there have the word for heart buried within it, the word cur from the Latin. Encouraged, discouraged. Are we heartened? Are we disheartened? So Jesus was saying, it's so important that you stay together and that you together are not troubled, that you can find the peace within whatever happens. So our collective heart. And I'm wondering today how your individual heart is and how our heart together is. Are we troubled? Are we full of joy? Well, so this is where I get a little real here. If you're like me at all, the pandemic reminded me of how little control I have over my life. I like to pretend like I have a lot of control, like my calendar actually means something, and that if I write down an appointment, it's going to definitely happen. And the pandemic really taught us that not necessarily. I had the whole year for 2020 planned out. And I basically, you know, like all of us, we kind of threw away that calendar and started with a new one. So many lessons there. So anxiety producing to know that we cannot control everything. Life is mysterious. God is mysterious. And God is good and faithful. But things don't always turn out the way we want them to. Jesus' whole mission in the book of John was to reveal the Father to us. So God was revealed not as the one who makes sure that everything we want to control is controlled. God is revealed as love, as parent, as healer. And then we have the example of Stephen, who was the very first martyr, and he was a deacon. All you deacons out here, he was a servant of the people, providing the cookies and the bread and making sure that everyone was taken care of. Well, he saw the love of Jesus and he wanted to live that out. So we find him in our lesson today in a very precarious situation. There are people around him that feel really, I think that was about control. It was, they felt like the Jewish tradition was really in harm's way, and that there was this movement of these people who believed in Jesus, and even killing him didn't stop it. And you can almost feel how they would feel such anxiety and, oh my goodness, what is going on? And then you have this man who has been serving the church, Stephen, and he has a vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of God, standing victoriously. This is post-resurrection, and Jesus is equal with God? Like, this would have really been hard to take by the community there. So this text has often been used against our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we want to know that, you know, Stephen would have also been Jewish, and so it's more an intra-Jewish community fight. It's not a fight really so much between Christianity and Judaism. It was very particular to that time and that moment. But Stephen, as he is being stoned, says, "Father, forgive them." So just like Jesus, he had a nonviolent reaction to violence. And death is so awful, violent and awful, and senseless gun violence and awful things then and now. But I think good news out of all of this is that God can bring and does bring redemption out of any stupid, awful thing that we do. That the worst of humanity, God can redeem. That there's always something, some resurrection, some hope on the other side. And we are called to work for that hope and to know that the promise is there of that hope. Romans 8:28, God works all things for good. And I know that this is a tricky area, like, does God plan everything? Does God not? And that is such a mystery. I do not think that God gives cancer so that someone can have good come out of it. I really don't think that's our God. I think God is a God of goodness. And yet God uses everything. God heals and does good. As a result of Stephen's death, in Acts 8, the church, the disciples decide not to stay in that room together. They decide to spread out. And that's how the church kind of gets started. That was like the, the dandelion, which I think is a flower, not a weed, but the dandelion was blown out everywhere. And the disciples scattered as a result of Stephen's death. And as a result of Stephen's death, was that what led Saul to eventually become Paul the Apostle? You know, we don't know. Saul was right there, and he was, like, supporting the stoning of Stephen. But did he see Stephen's faith, and did that move him along in his faith? We don't know. Well, the church thankfully spread far and wide, and we are here today because of that. So Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is a call to follow the way of nonviolent love and the ministry of Jesus, to live the truth that God cares about each of us as individuals and as a community. and to truly, deeply, fully live an abundant life here and now, loving all those around us. And to come back to words that we say at the end of life, why not say them now? Why not tell those that are important to us how much they mean to us? You know, why not give them words of love and growth and healing and hope, words that point to the God that reaches out to us in constant love and grace? Why not? Well, here we are together, and I am thankful that we know the way and that together we walk on that way. Amen.
Next is the hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West. Next is the hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus.
Thank you. within and without, by the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of Christ, now and always. Amen.
Amen.